start. I guess today it's really a little bit about housekeeping and things that we really do need to take care of in order to move forward. And, you know, it's February now. Our funding year will end on May 31st, I think, for all the projects. And so we basically have 3 months to kind of attain the goals that we set for ourselves at our face-to-face meeting in January and in the application. And to accomplish some of the things that we said we wanted to try to do. Is that Dr. Hannigan?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Hey. I knew you'd be here, John.
Sorry I'm late. I was talking to the Nobel Prize Committee.
Ooh.
Sorry to laugh.
No, I'm glad you did.
So this is a kind of a housekeeping meeting to kind of get caught up on things that we really need to have in order to move forward and to see CFAS on pace for its target. A few other items of business. So I guess the first thing is the slide set. So Kathy, Mitchell, and Tom, I'd like to hear from you about what you think of the set that you have available to you and where you think we need to get you more information, improve the quality of those slides. Jennifer has taken the lead on this, but she said she's going to put together a basic public training slide set, but she's not going to be around for a while, so I don't know what the status of that is or whether she's communicated any of that to you. So, but I like the slide set up and out, you know, that's a public slide set that anyone could sign on to use in their talks about FAS, as well as one specific to the accomplishments of CFAS. So, Kathy, Tom, I don't know whether you have any input or not that what you need from people.
Well, I do. Just in terms of the slide set that we have, I think is very useful, and I had sent you that note. I actually was able to use some of those slides at a presentation up in Toronto for a group of maternal and child health providers. But it's useful to me, Ed, so that I can just kind of pick and choose what is appropriate for the audience, what I can fit in, what I need to focus on. So it's great for me to be able to have those to kind of select from and, you know, incorporate those into the presentation. But I think in terms of having something that is downloadable or useful for, you know, just the global community, if you will, something maybe we would have available through the NOFAS website, if that's what the direction we're still wanting to go into, I think is another issue, and that's something I think I've got to have a conversation with Jennifer about, because again, I think we just need to really, you know, make them, you know, just very clean and you know, very straightforward and very, very simple, I think. So that's my take, and probably a little stronger in the notes section, so that we have some, you know, notes that explain the slide, but we need a very simple set for that. That's just my take.
I would add to that, yes, we've had a couple of conversations with separate conversations with Jennifer. So, yes, as you made the point, Ed, that she at least had been working on, and hopefully still will have time to complete that. We were thinking of that she's working on it as being perhaps the slide set that may be available, whether it's through a website or in its entirety to folks. Now, as Kathy had mentioned, I've also used select slides in meetings that I've had with some policy people and others. So I'm very comfortable with them, you know, as we had a couple of these calls focused on really helping us understand the content of the slides that we can go. But as Kathy said, you know, having that sort of that final complete set that with enhanced notes will be very helpful. And, of course, the exercise we went through during the meeting in Rockville in January where the brief sort of statements as to the nature of the research and what hoped to be accomplished, that'll only add to that and also be very useful.
Yeah, that was the second item, is that everyone was supposed to have those 150-word very simple description project. Again, sent to Jennifer and myself, and I don't have any revised of those. And I put in a call to Jennifer, but she's on a plane, so I don't know.
Ed, this is Sarah. I sent mine, and I know Tatiana sent one also.
Yeah, I was going to say we did ours right after the meeting. Peter and I did ours, and Sarah, but several of us finished it like the day after the meeting.
I'm sure that Jennifer has some of them. I just don't know, and I can't get it to Jennifer.
If you want us to resend, we're glad to do it.
No, well, you could send them to me so I have them because Jen.
Okay, we'll send it. We'll resend.
Yep, no problem.
And people haven't done them on the various projects. Could you please do? Remember, this is on an eighth grade reading level. Very to so that we post them of letting people know what we're doing.
Ed, this is Jill. You're cutting out for some reason.
Yeah, I'm hearing that too.
Yep.
All right. Hold on. Get off speaker. But if everyone could get me those 150-word, very simple description, we've been in, or Jennifer supposedly has been in touch with the person who writes the Eureka alerts for Acer to then look at them and to see whether or not she feels that they're in a format and in a language that people could understand. So we need those sent and completed. All right. A number of us are presenting at the end of this month at the international meeting in Vancouver on progress in CFAS. I have received the slide set from Shauna, and that's the only one that I have. So if you're presenting at that meeting, could you please send me those slide sets so that we could so that I don't duplicate anything in the opening and I know what everyone's going to try to say and maybe provide some helpful suggestions. This is a meeting of about 1,000 people that of all different areas of expertise and knowledge about FASD. So it's not the easiest talk that you've ever given. So if everyone could do that, that would be appreciated. Hannah, could you kind of discuss what's going on with PASS? You and I talked the other day, so.
Well, yeah, I can bring you up to date. So we have 3 face-to-face meetings a year, and we've now changed that to 2 face-to-face and 1 teleconference call. So we had a teleconference call in January. Our next face-to-face call is May 2nd and 3rd. In Rockville, either at the NICHD or NIAAA. I'm not sure which it'll be. It alternates between them. One of the big events is that all of you, I think, know that we've been there's interest in the PASS investigators to follow the PASS cohort beyond 1 year of life. And 2 follow-up grants by different investigators, not by the PASS network in general, but by people in PASS who have taken this upon them to write these follow-up grants. And the two follow-up grants will be separate. One will be from South Africa, and the other will be from the Northern Plains. And Hein Odendaal is the PI from South Africa, and he's going to continue to be the PI on the follow-up grant. And Amy Elliott would be the PI on the South Dakota Northern Plains grant. The South African grant went in on the February 5th deadline, went to the NICHD. Well, it's being asked for funding from the NICHD, the NIAAA, and the Hearing and Deafness Communication Institute, which has been funding PASS in part because we're doing brainstem evoked potentials and auditory otoacoustic emission analysis hearing test in the PASS cohort. And they've been interested in following this group up as well. So that went in February 5th, and Amy's will go in at the June 5th deadline. Since just in the last week, you may have seen that there was an NIH call for grants around follow-up of prenatal cohorts into disease or risk factors for disease in later life. And Amy, I think, is planning, although I don't know this for sure, but to go under that to that call to grants. Was there a question?
We lost sound for a minute, Hannah.
You lost sound? Do you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know if Bill or Dale are on the call. Want to make any comments about that?
We are on the call, and I have nothing to add.
Okay. Yes,
NIAAA
Bill?
NIAAA is not participating on that program announcement you mentioned.
Okay. That's good to know.
Wasn't there a previous call for this, Bill? And were any of them funded?
I don't believe there was a previous call. NIAAA has a program announcement out on a very similar topic, but it's only a PA, and it's been out for about 4 or 5 months.
Okay, that must have been what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So the grant that Hein submitted was an R01, and I don't know what the mechanism is for what is that. Is this NIH call now an R01 type grant, or is that something special?
I think it was an R01, but it excludes big, large size grants. I think there's a $500,000 cap.
Yeah, yeah. So in anticipation for that, those grants, and also we're now, as of December, we were 71% through enrollment of PASS. The study is scheduled to be completed in 2016. Enrollment would stop in 2015 because, as you remember, we're following the first year of life for SIDS, and that is the time period of SIDS. So we're following up to 1 year. So that the mothers will stop being enrolled in 2015, and then there'll be this 1 year follow-up time after that. So at this three-fourths way through the study, there was some uncoding of interim studies to look at the effects of alcohol in the cohort. And part of this was done in order for these follow-up grants to have evidence that there were alcohol effects at 1 month or 12 months, particularly in the Mullen, which is the 12-month developmental follow-up that's been used in PASS on some of the cardiorespiratory measures. And I had suggested in talking to Ed earlier in the week that Ed come to the PASS steering committee call in May, on May 2nd and 3rd, and we give him an update for you all on where those studies stand, and then he updates us on what's going on with CFAST. And so that was what Ed and I had talked about.
Thanks, Anna. you know, I think there's lots of interesting things going on with PassNow and possibilities of interacting more than we have in the past. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and I saw your email, Ed, today, that you could come on May 2nd and 3rd. So I have that. I have sent out to addresses to the steering committee about your coming and presenting and then staying there for the 2 days and hearing the updates on all that's transpiring.
That would be great. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So the last kind of item of housekeeping is the discussion on the progress that's going up. And Jill, is it possible for are people on WebEx?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can get my screen online.
Ed, do you want me to do mine since I can show the graph?
I need to do it for the first part of this.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to select you.
Okay, am I on?
I don't see it yet, but Jill, while he's doing that, I just wanted to that the versions of the hello.
Hello, John. Hello, John.
Am I back?
Uh huh.
Okay. That were the versions of the written report that went out. Were they the final version that included the comments from Susan and Hannah and as well? Because the version that I saw sent out looked like it was signed by Dan and I, and I just wanted to be sure that everybody had the most recent version.
I used the version that you guys had sent, I think, the last part of January. I can send it back to you. It's the only one that's
That's probably it. That's okay. That would be the one. Okay.
Jill, it would have come from me, copied to John and Ed, I think, based on he did last edits. I reviewed it, made a few minor edits, and sent it. So it would be that version, and it was right at the end of January.
Right, and so I didn't change any of the content. I just grouped things a little bit differently so that everyone could see the overall CFAS review and then at the end see their project.
Yeah, okay. I have to say, as you know, I wasn't able to attend the CFAS meeting in January. This is Hannah. So I never saw that report. Did I miss it? It never came to me, and I'm assuming that's because I wasn't there in January.
I can send it out to all the Science Advisory Board members. I just received it from Drs. Hannigan and Savage and sent it to the PIs in broken up pieces.
Oh, okay.
You should send that to everybody, including Bill and Dale. And
okay.
All right, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
All righty. Am I on here?
I don't see
Jill.
Unless I'm on the wrong page.
Jill?
Yes, I had you selected, but did you go to Quick Start and select Show My Desktop?
Quick Start.
It's a tab on the upper left.
Yes, there it is. Okay.
And then where it says Share File, just do Share Desktop.
Got it. All right. I wanted to bring up some things here of our monthly documents. And so we're going to start back last June. And these are from Michelle in the Central Repository. And this is what was in there as of June 30th, 2012. And you can see where we are in 2,000 dysmorphology subjects. 143 still pending exams. Everybody see that?
Yep.
Okay, so now we're going to go, that's from June. And here's July. And as you can see, basically 5 cases have been added to pending dysmorphology subjects. And we lost 5 cases for some reason in the dysmorphology exam. So they must have been reported as having had an exam and then found out they didn't. And so they went from the morphology core down into the pending dysmorphology exams. And so whenever you see a little plus sign, that's how many subjects have been added
to the database in each of the projects that we have. All right, so now we're into July. Here is August, so you see that there are no pluses in there.
This is month-to-month changes?
Month-to-month, right?
Okay.
So there no additional subjects have been added. And then we move to October, and again, you see basically we're right where we were. And we go to November, and we see that Tina added a number of subjects from the Ukraine in the infant neuro. So that was done. I don't know who that is.
Who is it?
This is the...
Damn it.
Someone's having a fire drill. That?
God damn it.
I think it's that damn it.
If you tell me who it is, I can mute you.
Maybe someone put it on mute. Yeah.
All right, so here we are for December.
Jill, I think that's my line. This is Jeff. If you can mute me somehow, I can't see.
Okay, I'll try.
So we lost 55 brain imaging?
Yeah, I don't know what that is from Elizabeth.
I don't either.
One of the challenges, I'll say, for facial imaging is, remember, we only have a recording in the central repository when there are measurements. That's how we know it's happening. So we have lots of, remember, that's why we're doing this thing where Peter will provide back some measurements. I had offered we could put in a field, say we got facial imaging, so that people could track it that way. So we can update the Doodle Doc, Google Docs, Doodle Docs, whatever those things are. But the central repository, I mean, I'm just letting you know why facial imaging can't change.
Okay. And then here's the last month. So we had 9 subjects added to Neurobehavioral 3 from San Diego, and 8 subjects added to Neurobehavioral 2 from Clara Coles in Atlanta. So that's where we are, and if you look at the Google Docs, and Jill, I'll unshare my screen since mine don't always work, and give that back to you, all right? So.
Okay, let me switch.
Hey, someone's got a pretty background there.
That's me.
Is that your backyard?
Huh? That's my backyard. All right, how do I unshare this thing?
I'm doing it. Hold on.
All right, there you are. All right, so now. All right, so now we basically can see the same thing in terms of our progress, in terms of what we had proposed. So, let's start at the beginning, Jill. All right, so either people are not updating these or there's no way that anyone's doing anything to meet their goal. This is, let's see, the neurobehavioral data. Jill, where do you want to go? Which one do you want to start with, Jill?
I was just clicking. Do you want to start with Ukraine? There was nothing, but it's not on the
top. Yeah, right. So these are the data from the Ukraine since December. Okay, move over to the neurobehavioral. Again, a bunch of nothings. Neuroimaging.
Do you want us to comment?
No. 4 scans and 3D imaging. And so I know that we have data, and I just have to figure out a way, and I'm open to suggestions, that to try to see exactly where we are, because if you look now, we basically, I think, let's, for like, just pick, I'll just pick one at random. I don't care which one. All right, so this just kind of gives you that the group totals are n's of 5, and there are 2 to 3 groups depending upon the site. And so we'd have to scan, you know, 10 subjects from each of them minimum, and then there were supposed to be 2 scans. And we're nowhere near our goal for meeting that goal, and I don't see how that's going to be possible in the next 3 months. So I guess we could go through it project by project and find out if people believe they're on target, or how we can manage it to make sure we get up to targets relatively quickly.
This is Sarah. Can I talk about the neurobehavioral for a minute?
Sure.
One of the reasons we haven't updated our Google chart at all, and that's because we're in the process of developing with informatics a system by which our subjects, so we've tested at least 25 subjects. I didn't hear from 2 sites, but 2 sites have tested 25 subjects. And so we have data. And some of that was reflected in the chart you showed earlier, but we're working on a way to tally the subjects once they get into the database, and we're hoping to have that ready by the next call. So then we will – so the reason our chart is blank is because we haven't updated it, and that's the bottom line. But we are working on that process, and by the next call there should be – our mechanism should be in place to count the subjects in an accurate way. And they'll be entered into the Google Doc. We were hoping it was going to be done by this call, but it's not.
All right, so if your year one total is 55, how close do you think that you are going to be to reaching that year one total?
We anticipate that we will meet or exceed the goal. We've already tested 25 people.
Okay. All right, and that's...
And we're hoping...
Well, you have a total of 100.
Right.
And if you've tested 25, you're a quarter of the way there.
Right.
And you have 3 months left to go.
Right.
Okay, so you're going to meet that total.
We're hoping, yep.
All righty. Any other comments from anyone?
Yeah, well, this is Elizabeth. For brain imaging, we've done 5 at L.A., 6 have been done in New Mexico. You have 5.
That's Minnesota, not New Mexico.
Minnesota.
Sorry, I'm looking at Emmett. I'm sorry. Emory's working on the IRB, all of those issues that came up that we've been actively working on.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you have a year one total of 40. And I hear that you have around 10.
So
how close are we going to be to meeting that total?
Well, I think that for all the sites, we have 5 more scheduled in L.A., 7. You have...
We've got 19 on the schedule, 4 completed.
Right. And, you know, for the other sites, for like San Diego and Emory, Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, but... kids that you have already been testing who are eligible for imaging, you'll just bring them back in, right?
Right. We had a problem with the protocol not working on our scanner, and we've just had our Phantom last Friday. So that was – and so we got the go-ahead to start collecting data, and we have kids scheduled. We just haven't scanned anyone yet, but we were waiting on the technical aspect.
Right. So just given that – people are waiting in the wings to be scanned, I'm hopeful that we're not going to be too far off from the goal.
Okay, so, and Tatiana, do you have anything else to add? I understand your problem is that it's not data until Peter really does it, but it...
Yeah, so that's why I had offered the option of, and we talked about this, just recording that a scan had been collected, And I can't remember, I'm sorry, I don't remember all the voices we got, but at one point people said, no, it didn't really count until it got to Peter, and the way we know it got to Peter is that we would have those measurements. I would be glad to add something into the central repository that would let us to get a sense of that. I think the other thing that's a little bit challenging, and we talked about that at the meeting, there was that other data is just being able to track, for example, PASS. So how would we collect information about PASS in the central repository, and what would we put in there? And so I think that's a little bit of a challenge, too. Everything that's kind of out of the ordinary, the Jacobsons.
Yeah, I think that, you know, basically when I look at these and I'm trying to figure out, you know, where we are in terms of reaching the goal.
I agree. That's why I think you want me to put something in there about what's been collected even before it's been measured.
Right.
I agree with that. I think it really should be recorded as, you know, data gathered.
Okay, so if we agree with that, so this I'd have to re-pull out my notes, and I apologize. I think our decision had been not to do that, because remember I had a little PowerPoint thing that I had gone through, I think, on the beginning of the second day. I am actually much happier with the idea of recording it in the central repository and knowing that we've got the image so people could claim credit for it. And
yeah,
I would be glad to work with Bill to get a variable added to that effect.
I think
Doesn't it make more sense just to update it on the Google Doc than to make a whole new
But the problem is you're not getting credit for it in the Google Doc. I do update it in the Google Doc.
If you ask us how much.
No, I'm telling you, it is updated in the Google Doc. This isn't the Google's, is it?
Yeah, this is Google that we're looking at right now, but nobody's asked me this month how many subjects we've scanned.
So it's my fault. I just forwarded the note we got from Jill. Senator Leah, who just emailed with Ben.
Right. So I mean, informatics, no, or you guys can figure it out, but it seems to me that it's easier if we just do it in the Google, or if you do it in the Google Doc, you ask us and you do it in the Google Doc rather than have a field in the central repository. But that's, you guys can figure it out. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, we'll let Tatiana deal with informatics and figure out the best way she wants to do it to inform NIAAA and myself. You know, that images are, in fact, being collected. So,
I like it better in the sense. I honestly would prefer it in the sense.
Tatiana, I'm going to leave it up.
It's not a lot of work for Bill, and I'd rather do it.
Tatiana, I'm going to leave it up to you. All right.
Thank you.
But that's where we are, and you know, we see these, Bill and Dale see them every month, and it's important to update them so we know what's going on where. And I think as people ask for their next year's budgets and carryover monies, that it's going to be important to know exactly where you are when you try to justify that. And Bill, Dale, any comments?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we do before each meeting. We do look at these Google Docs. We don't access the central repository. So what we're looking at is what's available on Google Docs. And I know we're just kind of getting up to speed here this year, but I think one thing this discussion has illustrated is we don't have an efficient process for getting that information into Google Docs so we can see it yet. So I'm sure that we're just working out the kinks here.
Right. For the neuroimaging also, we lost our project coordinator, and so I think that my interim person didn't realize that we had to put in the imaging data for all the sites, so he just put in our site, but we could have put in New Mexico, so I'll make sure that gets straightened out.
Yeah, and there may well be, you know, adjustments.
It's Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Oh, God.
MN, not NM.
New Minnesota.
There may well be adjustments that could be made to these spreadsheets that will make it more useful or user friendly on your end, and you know, I'd encourage you to work with Jill on those things. But also I seem to recall, Jill, were you sending out reminders to update the Google Docs a week or so before?
I did fail on this one. I just sent it.
Well, I didn't mean to imply that.
Better at it.
I think in phase two, it seemed to me you were pretty religious about that.
Yeah.
I imagine that's helpful for people.
So I'm just, if you want to try to impress the NIAAA staff, you have to put the numbers in. All right.
And Ed, I think it also helps us to hear from all the PIs on how confident they are that they would be able to hit their year one targets. I think at the end of the face-to-face meeting last month, you know, I was glad to hear that everyone was optimistic that, you know, the recruitment was getting ready to pick up. And then, you know, just looking at the Google Docs, it is worrisome that it hasn't picked up, or at least it's not reflected in the Google Docs.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm trying to impress upon them, how important it is to update these so that we get a real accurate picture of where people are and where they, you know, need to be. So we can keep on target, because if we fall behind too early in this thing, we're just going to be playing catch-up the entire time. And, you know, I don't think that'll be great. So that's where we are. So any other comments on that? I got just a couple other issues. Alex Medina. Kathy, have you been in touch with Alex? Alex was interested in...
I haven't had a chance to get back to him yet.
Okay, but you did get that email then. All right. In terms of neuroimaging, Elizabeth, I got a call from George Fine.
Yeah. I emailed you about this a long time ago. So, but go ahead.
He has an SBIR to look at cerebellar automated analysis using similar types of thing to what Peter's doing on the face.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now interested, and he does it in adults, and he's now interested in taking it to a younger population to see whether or not it works.
Oh,
or,
okay.
Or whether or not he needs to modify it.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be interested in either trying to get a developmental project in CFAS or collaborating on, you know, with us providing some images to him to see if it,
mm-hmm.
his automated technique works.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said that I would raise it on the conference call today and see.
But you said George Fine?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it sounds like an interesting thing to try.
All right. So
I mean, I guess you've got to deal with the whole IRB issue of who is...
Right. So I will put you in touch with him, and we can go from there, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Ed or someone else on the call, to what extent does this overlap with what we're doing, or is it just a...
To me, it sounds, you know, we haven't done a whole heck of a lot with the cerebellum. It's not the easiest thing to do.
Right.
So I think it would not... I don't think it would overlap with... That he would be an asset, not a...
He's got this technique for the automatic analysis of cerebellar shape and appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's tested in his adult subjects, it appears to work. And this was part of a phase one SBIR.
Mm-hmm.
And John and Antonio, I guess, had talked to him about trying to extend this to the juvenile population to see whether or not the same algorithm would work. And I think that's what he wants to try to do now, either as a developmental project in CFAS, or if that's not possible, then perhaps just in a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not like he's...
Well, is it important that it be the alcohol exposed? I mean, is that the focus of his interest?
He studies adult alcoholics, but,
yeah.
You know, I think it's more whether or not to see whether his algorithm works on this.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an age group, and how long does he have to acquire?
I don't know. It was about a five-minute phone call yesterday.
Okay.
But he approached me based on Antonio and John's recommendation, so... But I just want to check to make sure that people were okay with it or not okay with it. And then if they are, then I can put Elizabeth in touch with them. All right, we have like 15 minutes left. And is there any fantastic progress that anyone would like to tell us about?
One of my postdocs has finished writing a draft of the longitudinal functional MRI, which is kind of cool. I'm still editing it, but, you know, it's a similar in vein to...
Unbelievable. Who's that?
Watch.
Hello?
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 We're here. We're enjoying it.
Yeah?
Whose music is that?
I can't see. Everyone's blinking.
Did somebody put a call waiting or something? Put on hold?
That's probably it.
Here, if everyone's quiet, I can then see who it is and mute it. Oh, it's gone.
Anyway, the paper, you know, the first draft has been written, and I need to go over it, but it's kind of cool stuff.
Good. Look forward to that.
Yeah.
You know, Ed, this reminds me of something I thought the other day, but, you know, now that we're using WebEx more and more, I think it would be interesting to hear about, you know, some of the things that are being pulled together in papers and kind of have a presentation on these calls, because I think we typically, you know, don't see it until it's a manuscript, you know, the day before it gets submitted.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would also be good for the group, you know, understanding all the moving parts are.
I agree. And you know, I take part in some of the Nadia WebExes, and basically that's what they present. You know, they'll assign someone a topic for 15, 20 minutes and to present their data on a WebEx type call. And it's a great idea. And I think that, you know, once we get through the business part of this and get some new data into the repository, we can do it. But we seem to always be just dealing with busy work. You know, send me this, send me that, you didn't do this, send me that. But I think it's a great idea, Bill. So we'll try to accomplish that.
That was
beginning with the next call. In fact, I think I talked to Hannah about maybe presenting on some of the findings from PATH. But and so we could, you know, start to arrange it so that just 15, 20 minutes little presentations about where their project is, you know, what their findings are up on the science.
Sounds good.
All righty. Thanks.
I have a question. This is Hannah. We've just written a case report of an adult 34-year-old American woman, Indian woman, who had FAS diagnosed as a child and went on into adulthood, developed schizophrenia in adolescence, and she died at 34 of a pulmonary embolus. And this brain was sent to me to evaluate, and it has some very striking and interesting findings, and I submitted it to alcoholism, and it was rejected because they said they don't take case reports. So I could send it to a neuropathology journal, but I'm wondering if there's another journal you all would recommend that it would have visibility in your community. It's a single case report, but it's the only case report of an adult FAS case that I'm aware of that's been published.
I wasn't aware that that ACER does not take case reports.
Yeah, they used to.
We got a letter of rejection from them yesterday.
Oh, I believe you. I believe you.
Yeah, I know.
I think about 9 or 10 years ago, they decided that they were not going to do case reports anymore. There is another case report of an adolescent with FAS and schizophrenia. It's not an autopsy study, but
I know there's report. I mean, that was what was of interest in this case, because this woman had preferential involvement of the temporal lobe, specifically of the superior temporal gyrus. which has been implicated in schizophrenia, extensive literature on the spirit-temporal gyrus in schizophrenia. This woman has some maldevelopment to the spirit-temporal lobe. And I thought it was a really tremendous interest in regards to what happens over the long term to the brain. And I'm taking the model of Down syndrome, where at end of 20 years, 30 years, Down's patients begin to develop dementia, and it was found that they had senile plaques and neurofibrillary tangles like Alzheimer's, and that opened up the role of trisomy 21 and the chromosome to Alzheimer's disease and amyloid. So I thought it was really interesting to look at a maldevelopmental problem, and did something happen in adulthood where she developed schizophrenia in adolescence? And I think it's a really interesting case. But I can certainly put it in the neuropathology journal.
You know, I don't know what kind of impact factor you want, but Charlie Goodlett, they might be interested in alcohol.
Not Charlie anymore. Yeah. Charlie stepped down.
Yeah, he's not the editor.
But they could still be interested. I think they're third or fourth in drugs and alcohol for impact factor.
So.
Okay. Or maybe a psychiatry journal.
Other than the temporal lobe, did you find any other regions, like maybe the septal region, that were weird?
No. This patient had a preferential anomalies in the temporal lobe. The frontal lobe looked foreshortened, but structurally it didn't have any abnormalities. The brain was not underweight, and it had a normal cerebellum, and it had a normal brain stem. It had...
Did the spaces look normal?
Okay. Yes. And it did not have any secondary degenerative changes in it, such as neuronal loss or gliosis. Did not have Alzheimer's. So forth. And we did biochemistry in it, and we did, you know, anatomy and so forth. So I would like to see it in a place where it would be of value.
The kind of biochemistry you did? Is it
neurotransmitter receptor binding. We looked at GABA, and we looked at serotonin, and we looked at nicotine. Looked at the serotonin transporter. She was on a whole range of drugs, but we used control brains from the McLean Harvard Brain Bank, and she had different patterns of receptor binding in different regions.
That weren't limited to the temporal areas?
That's correct. That's correct. We're not limited to the temporal lobe. But this particular... the whole biochemistry is quite extensive that we did on her brain, but this is just this report is quite short, and it's restricted to the temporal lobe findings.
Well, if anyone can think of a place they think would be appropriate, I mean, I would try alcohol.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All righty. Any other? Bill, Dale?
Not here. I'm good.
All right. Can you two stay on the line after we're done?
Well, certainly.
All right, thanks.
Tatiana still on the phone?
She is.
Tatiana, are we going to discuss the IC elements?
So I'm going to assume that the only person who sent me edits were Sarah and were Elizabeth. So I'm going to assume at this point, because it was supposed to be Friday, gave you till Tuesday, that nobody else has any substantive edits to those elements. What I'm going to do is take the suggestions that we have from Elizabeth and from Sarah. I'm going to come up with a revised set of bullets. I'm not going to repass it all around, but what Jackie and I will do is start going through all your consents and indicating where you need to add things. Is that how we want to do it? Or
that would be awesome. Yeah.
Jackie, you going to kill me? Is that what we wanted to do?
No, I think that's perfect.
All right, she's happy with it. All right, there you go. Okay, that's our plan. I just want you to know that that's now coming. I do want to apologize again that I am behind schedule on this, but we will do this as quickly as we can.
And you guys did a lot of work on that, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is Bill Barnett. The Data Access Committee is meeting right after this meeting.
Yes, you can only have Bill for about 7 minutes is what he's telling me.
Okay.
I'm more blunt than you are, Bill.
are you using the same conference line, Bill?
No. We're using an IU line, so a different number.
Okay. All righty. Any other comments? All righty. Thank you all. And Bill and Dale, if you could stay on,
yeah.
I'd appreciate
it. We're on.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.